welcome to episode 3 of the Killer Minute Podcast, brought to you as always by Killer Frogs. My name is Davis Wilson, the host of this show. And we've got a pretty good amount to talk about. I'm recording this on a Tuesday, so pretty early in the week, and we already have a ton to go over for TCU Athletics. A lot happened this week. Very, very eventful. We will talk about all of that right here on Killer Minute. Okay, let's start with basketball. TCU has played 2 games in the last 4 days now, so pretty busy. They went 1-1 in those games. They beat Oklahoma State, lost to Kansas. We'll start with Oklahoma State. Mike Miles returns. The return of Mike Miles in this game, Oklahoma State. His presence was felt immediately. He had 15 points on 50% shooting. And the team just looked so different. TCU had 6 scorers in double digits. As I mentioned, Miles had 15. Emmanuel Miller led TCU with 18 points on 8 of 12 shooting. He also had 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Micah Peavy, who's been playing really well as of late, had 10 points on 4 of 6 shooting. Shahade Wells had 15 points and 4 assists. Chuck O'Bannon Jr. had 12 points. And Damian Ba had a really good game. He had 16 points and 11 assists, which is his third double-double of the season. So all of that together, all of those double-digit scores together, added up to just a complete offensive explosion for the Frogs. They scored 100 points, which I believe I saw on Twitter was the first time they've scored 100 points in a conference game since 2002. So not a bad output, not a bad scoring output at all. This was actually a close game for a while. I haven't even mentioned the score. That it was 100-75. So TCU had no trouble with this win, but it was close for a while to start the game. With 8 minutes left in the first half, it was 22-21, just a 1-point game. And then 8 minutes later at halftime, it was 47-27, a 25-6 TCU run in the last 8 minutes of the first half. And that was about all. You could tell they had it going, and it was going to be really tough for Oklahoma State to get any type of momentum back and make a comeback. And they didn't. Obviously, TCU won. The Frogs shot 68.4% from the field, which is a really good percentage, shooting percentage. It was only 0.2% shy of the Big 12 record, which was actually set by Oklahoma State. They shot 53.3% from 3. I mean, they couldn't miss. Except, strangely enough, this team cannot make its free throws. It was 63.6% from the free throw line. This is still a huge problem for TCU, and we will definitely be getting into that later on. But back to the positives. As I said, this team is so different with Mike Miles. He really didn't even, he only had, I mean, 15 he had a great game, 15 points. You know, what else can you really ask? But it's not like that was his best game ever. But just the team, you could tell, felt a lot different with him there. They got back to what they're best at, scoring in the fast break. They had 23 fast break points. Also had 39 bench points, 21 points off turnovers. They forced 17 Oklahoma State turnovers. They had 50 points in the paint, 28 assists, only 16 turnovers. I really like the assist-to-turnover ratio stat. That's a great rate. 28-16 is superb. And really, it's not like Oklahoma State played that poorly. They shot fine. I mean, they were 46% from the field, 33% from 3. It's just that they could not keep up with TCU, and really not many teams, I think, would be able to. That was just a true onslaught of basketball. So they end a four-game losing streak back in the win column. They've got it going. 2 days later, well, I think it was, yeah, 2 days later, they host Kansas. They host number three Kansas. And last time you remember, they played them in Lawrence, beat them by 23 points. It was their best one of the season. By the way, didn't mention this. The Oklahoma State game, I think maybe their second best performance of the season. Behind that Kansas game, I'll go back to Oklahoma State really fast because Oklahoma State is not a bad team. KenPom has them ranked, at least at the time of the game, they had them ranked in the top 40. I don't know what it is now, but their defense is, I think, one of the 10 best in the country, and TCU put 100 points on them. That was a really, really good win for TCU and kind of shows you the full potential of what this team can do. Anyway, back to Kansas. They host Kansas. I thought this game had a chance to be like Big 12 game of the year type stuff. The Schulmeyer was absolutely packed out. It was a whiteout. Desmond Bain was there. Kenrich Williams was there. Alex Robinson, a lot of the really great TCU alum, TCU basketball alum showed up. And I will say TCU really could have used Desmond Bain. It was a completely different story from the Oklahoma State game. They really didn't shoot the ball very well at all. They shot 30% from the field, 27.8% from three. Definitely could have used Mr. Bain there. They also lost the rebounding battle 48 to 42. I talked about this in my Kansas preview. I think they had to win the rebound battle to win this game, and they didn't. Kansas didn't shoot the ball that well either, to be honest. Kansas with 39.4% from the field, 18.8% from three. So, I mean, you know, really it wasn't that crazy of a game for Kansas either. Kansas did have Grady Dick go off. He had 19 points. Didn't shoot the ball great, but did have 19 points. Kevin McCullough had 15. And Jalen Wilson, their best guy, averages 20 a game. I'm sorry. Only had 7 points. He did have 13 rebounds. He dominated in that aspect, but only 7 points. I think TCU did a really good job of not letting him get the looks he wanted to get. And you would think if you hold Jalen Wilson to 7 points, you win the game. But Kansas had other guys step up. Shout out to those guys. Let's see here. Kansas, I mean, this was really a close game the whole time. It was very back and forth. Kansas had the lead for most of the second half, although it seemed like it was a one-possession game for a massive chunk of the second half. They had their biggest lead the second half ended up being a 7-point lead. They're up 60 to 53 with 4 minutes, 45 seconds left. And they didn't score another field goal in the last 4 minutes and 45 seconds. They made three free throws and they won the game. Add that to holding Jalen Wilson to 7 points and also only turning the ball over 7 times. I mean, TCU, that is an extremely winnable game. I'm sure they're upset with that. And really, if you look, they didn't shoot well, obviously, but it's not like they really played that poorly. Only, like I said, only 7 turnovers, 42 rebounds, even though they lost the rebounding battle. That's a lot of rebounds. They scored 19 fast break points, 19 points off the bench, 30 points in the paint. Like this really wasn't, it's not like this was a terrible game. Mike Miles had 13, Damian Ba had 11, Jacoby Coles had 12. Really glaringly bad things, except, and I said we'd come back to it, free throws. TCU was 13 of 21 from the free throw line. That is 8 missed free throws. They lost the game by 5. That's You make your free throws, you win the game. Same thing as last week's episode. Same exact problem. I'll get into the free throw, some interesting free throw stats, a little bit of a study I conducted later. But I do want to mention, I have to mention, our boy Max Duggan made an appearance the same day he won, he received the Davey O'Brien Award. He came into the game with 6 minutes left, fashionably late, wearing a tuxedo. He came in, pumped the crowd up. The Schulmeyer was rocking. The video of that is awesome. At that point, it's 56-53. Losing this game is disappointing, but the most disappointing part of it is that you lost with Max Duggan in attendance wearing a tuxedo. Just pathetic, in my opinion. That's the thing I was most angry about, to be honest, because, you know, TCU played okay. They really did, besides free throws. It's not like they had any huge turnover problems, huge fouling problems. You know, the refs were tough both ways, but I don't see the refs as a reason TCU lost, although Damian Ball got hammered in the paint, and they called it a jump ball pretty late. But I'm not going to talk about refs because it was an extremely winnable game, even without any bad calls. But anyway, back to my point. That's what I was most mad about. Max Duggan comes in, hypes the crowd up with 6 minutes left. You're only down three. At that point, you should go on a 20-0 run and just bury Kansas. And they didn't. And I think they should apologize to the man, Max Duggan, for that. So TCU loses the game 63-58. They had a look at the end of the game. They're down three, had a look at it. Damian Bosch shot it. I really would like to see the ball in the hands of Mike Miles in that situation. I know Damian Ba can do it, but we saw what Damian Ba did against Baylor. He had a chance to tie the game. Wasn't a great shot. Same kind of thing this time. Took a three, very contested. TCU still had time. It's not like time was expiring. They had a couple seconds to get a better look. He threw it up. Don't even know if it drew iron, to be honest. And I'm okay with that. Damian Ba, again, he had 11 points, shot the ball pretty bad. He was 4 of 16, but so did everybody on TCU. I don't know. I would still like to see Mike Miles with the ball in his hands there with a chance to tie it. The game on the line. That's all I have about that. Again, I feel like we don't need to overreact to this game. Either team, I don't think, needs to overreact because for Kansas knew it was good. Number three team in the country. They played well enough to win this game. TCU played well enough to win this game. It was a great game. It was a fun game. Atmosphere was awesome. Both these teams have what it takes, in my opinion, to make a Final Four run. So I don't think there needs to be a huge overreaction. Kansas is good. TCU is good. I think we can kind of leave it at that, to be honest. And also, you know, Kansas was not going to, I mean, they were going to do everything in their power to not get swept. They've only been swept, I think, twice under Bill Self. So, you know, they were going to come out and do everything they could do to not get swept. And they got it done. But again, both these teams have a chance to make noise in March. I think these teams are pretty even, to be honest. I think, you know, it's just the Big 12. Every game is tough. You know, you don't need to overreact too much to this one because both teams, again, are really fun, awesome teams. So this study I conducted about free throws, I mentioned the Final Four. I think TCU can make a Final Four run if everything goes right. But I wanted to look at free throw percentage of Final Four teams since 2018. And I have the data here. I collected it all by myself. I need an intern for this podcast, maybe, to do all this for me. Anyway, 2018, the final four teams were Villanova, Michigan, Kansas, and Loyola Chicago. By the way, I had kind of forgotten Loyola. I knew Loyola Chicago made a run. I had forgotten that it was a final four run. Just made that year so much fun. Anyway, Villanova won the national championship. They shot, their free throw percentage was 77.9. Michigan's was 66.1. Kansas's was 70.1. And Loyola Chicago was 72.5. So all but Michigan are over 70%. And that's kind of the line I'm going to set. Be over 70%, right? We'll look at 2019. Virginia wins the national championship. They shoot 74.4% from the free throw line. Texas Tech, 73.2%. Michigan State, 75.3%. And Auburn, 71.1%. All over 70%. 2021, obviously 2020 didn't happen because the tournament was canceled. But 2021, Baylor wins the national championship. They shoot 70.8%. From the free throw line, Gonzaga is 73%, UCLA is 71.5%, and Houston is 73.1%. And then our most recent season, 2022, Kansas wins the national championship. They shoot 71.7%, UNC 76.4%, Duke 73.8%, and Villanova 83%. So Villanova, actually, Villanova has the two highest percentages, the highest in 2022 and the second highest in 2018. But anyway, that's 16 teams in the Final Four over the last 4 years. The only team below 70 was Michigan. Every other team, the 15 other teams, were all over 70%. And right now, TCU is at 69.6%. So that 70-point mark, which who knows if it actually means anything, but it does, you know, the data is there to back it up. 70% is very attainable, and I think it's very simple. This team has what it takes to make a Final Four run. They have one of the most experienced teams in the country. They have good coaching. Jamie Dixon's done a really good job in the last couple seasons. They have a great offense. They're fast-paced. They're scoring in transition, which is always a lot of fun to watch. And when they shoot the ball well, I mean, this is, you know, it doesn't happen every game, but when they shoot the ball well, they really shoot it, right? And that's a whole nother dimension if they can tap into that. Good. They also play good defense. They rebound the ball. They play good defense. They force turnovers. And lastly, I think this is one that is pretty essential. They have a star. They have a star guard in Mike Miles. And I think a lot of the teams you see have that guy. They have the star. Like Villanova in 2018, Jalen Brunson. Kansas had Oshai Baji last year. UNC, Caleb, there's a lot at Michigan State. I remember Cassius Winston. That was a lot of fun. But a lot of these teams at least have that star guard. So really the only thing you need is you need to make your free throws. I mean, they're literally free. It's let me look at these. It's really shocking when when that Oklahoma State game, TCU shot, their field goal percentage was better than their free throw percentage, which I think rarely happens. Very, very shocking. Very shocking stat. But anyway, the theme of this episode is the same as the theme of the last one for basketball. Just make your free throws. We talked about last week, if you make all your free, I mean, I know you're not going to go 100% for the free throw line. That's just not how basketball works. But if you make your free throws, you win both games last week and you win both games this week. And that's unrealistic, I know, but it's a stat and it's there. Now, enough of basketball. Let's talk about baseball. So the baseball team goes 2-1 in its first weekend. They play in the College Baseball Showdown in Arlington, Texas. They play Vanderbilt, who's number 10 at the time, number 8 Arkansas, and they play Missouri. Those are their three games, all SEC schools. They go 2-1. First game, they play Vanderbilt. Kansas transfer Ryan Vanderhey gets the start. He pitches for five innings, gives up three runs, strikes three out. River Ridings comes in relief for a little bit, and then Luke Savage comes in, earns the win with three innings pitched, one run, two strikeouts. TCU wins 11-4. 11-4. Elijah Nunez leads the way offensively. He went 3-for-5 with four RBIs. Austin Davis played well. Braden Taylor, again, he is the preseason Big 12 player of the year. He hit a home run. And they ended up winning pretty handedly. 11-4 against Vanderbilt, who's a really good team. It was a close game for a really long time. It was Vanderbilt actually had the lead 3-2 in the sixth inning before TCU took a 5-3 lead with a Nunez three-run double in the sixth inning, Elijah Nunez. And then from there, Vanderbilt only scored one more time. Braden Taylor homered, two-run shot in the sixth. So in the sixth inning, it goes from being 3-2, Vanderbilt 7-3, TCU, and TCU runs away from there. And they get the win. They're 1-0. They've got a top 10 win on the resume already. The next game, they play Arkansas. Arkansas, who started that game? One second. Oh, Cam Brown started against Arkansas. And sorry. Cam Brown started, 1.2 innings pitched, four runs allowed, five hits allowed, only one strikeout. This was another close game. At least to start, it ended up being, spoiler alert, ended up being really not a close game. But in the beginning of this, it was a close game. It was 4-4 in the second inning. And then Cole Fontenelle, RBI, gives TCU the lead, and they do not surrender that lead for the rest of the game. The bats are extremely hot. They end up winning 18-6 against number 8 Arkansas, an Arkansas team who had just beat Texas, who's pretty good. And an Arkansas team who would go on to beat number 9 Oklahoma State 18-1. So a really good Arkansas team. All 9 starting batters registered a hit and an RBI. I don't know how often that happens. Probably not that much. That's pretty impressive. Austin Davis had 3 RBIs, 1 home run. Anthony Silva also had 3 RBIs. And Braden Taylor went 4-for-5 with 1 RBI. Cole Kletcher came in for relief. He pitched 4.1 innings, allowed 1 run, 3 hits, and struck out 6 batters, earning the win for TCU. So now TCU is 2-0 with 2 top 10 victories. Now all they have to do is go beat little old Mizzou, right? Wrong. Mizzou. You know, I'll be honest here. This was a win-win for me. Mizzou was 1-1 at this point. They had lost to Oklahoma State, I think, by 2 runs. They had beaten Texas on a walk-off the night before. So they're coming in, they're feeling it. And TCU takes a big lead. They take a 6-2 lead. But the Tigers storm back. They go up 8-6. They're up 8-6 in the ninth before David Bishop hits a 2-run single to tie the game, sends it to extras. Bishop finishes the game with 4 RBIs. But Mizzou wins in extras. They win 9-8 in extras. TCU's first loss of the year, Sam Stoutenborough started the game, 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. TCU committed 5 errors in this game, but Missouri does it. My Missouri Tigers beat TCU. This was a win-win game for me. I'll just say it, and I'll be a little bit honest. I was going for Mizzou because TCU had already done its business. It would be cool to go 3-0, but TCU had beat 2 really good teams. And for Mizzou to come in and beat a team that beat two really good teams. That's what I was going for. Both teams walk away 2-1. Everybody wins. I do want to look at the hit count for this. This is another kind of brag on Missouri. TCU had 12 hits against Vanderbilt, 19 hits against Arkansas, and only 9 hits against Missouri. So Missouri was the only team that really figured out how to stop the insane offensive attack from TCU. Anyway, 2-1 on the weekend. Very successful. They moved up to, number 8 in the country from 15. Austin Davis finished the week. He was named Big 12 Player of the Week. Again, he's the transfer from West Virginia. He bat 538. He had 7 hits, 5 RBIs, 1 home run, only 2 strikeouts. So quite a weekend for him. TCU baseball returns to action on February 22nd, which is Wednesday. They will play UT Arlington. UT Arlington is 1-2 on the season. They had a opening weekend series with Texas A&M Corpus Christi. They went 1-2. And they actually play Dallas Baptist tonight, which is the 21st. So they'll be coming out on a back-to-back to play TCU. It's TCU's home opener. So the Lupton Park, is that what it, Lupton Stadium, I think? That's what that's going to be. It's going to be rocking for sure. So that's baseball. And the last thing I just want to talk about is I have to. TCU men's tennis. Back-to-back national champions. Pretty cool. Pretty cool if you ask me. So it's this tournament called let me look. I don't want to sound like an idiot here. All right. They played in this national championship, ITA Indoor National Championships is what it's called. So they played, they played number 10 Baylor, beat number 10 Baylor 4-0. Then they played number 13 Georgia, beat them 5-0. A little bit of revenge for the football team there. I think in tennis, 5-0 is quite a blowout. And at least TCU was able to score on Georgia in the national championship in football. So I think that just about evens it out. Then they go on to play number 2 Kentucky, beat them 4-2, and then close it out, win the whole thing against number 6 Texas, winning 4-0. So TCU is national champions again in tennis. So a pretty good weekend for TCU sports. Basketball goes 1-1, gets their best guy back. Baseball opens the season up. Now ranked number 8, they go 2-1. And men's tennis. Who would have thought? TCU men's tennis is a dynasty. 2 national championships in a row. Pretty good. That is all that I have for this episode. I can talk about one thing really fast. TCU basketball. I didn't talk about what they have left on the season. They only have 3 regular season games left. They play at Texas Tech on Saturday. That's a game that I think, I know playing in Lubbock is really tough, but you'd like to win that game. We'll just say that. You'd like to win that game. Then you go to, you come back home, you play Texas, which will be another huge game. And then you're at Oklahoma to close the regular season out again. You'd like to win that one. But that's all I have. Thank you for tuning in and listening. I appreciate it, as always. And I guess that's about it. Well, see you later.